So it's with great joy that I would like to introduce our senior pastor, Pastor Daniel, to come and take the stage and preach to us. So let's give him a hand.
Thank you, Pastor Sandra. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the AVA team and the worship team for making room for me this morning. When we took time to record the sermon in Mandarin at 9 a.m. so that we can upload the sermon onto the website in Shanghai in order for the Mandarin speaking community in our church to be blessed. And it's a way for us to connect with the church who are spread out in different parts of the world right now because of the Wuhan virus. Please pray for China. I'm sure many of you would have read that there is a H5N1 outbreak in Hunan. Reported this morning, and we shouldn't be alarmed because the Bible does tell us that in the end times there will be an outbreak of pestilence and earthquakes around the world. So how should we interpret such a situation is, I would strongly encourage all of us to be passionate about sharing the gospel. I was having coffee with Pastor Sandra yesterday, and I was encouraging her and ICS Shanghai, ICS Singapore, to adopt this strategy to win one soul for Christ in 2020. That means every one of us should share the gospel with someone that are yet to be saved. Why I say that is because right now, as we go through the crisis, be it the Wuhan virus or the H5N1 or whatever we are facing, the heart of man will be slightly more open to the gospel. Because it is during this time where the frailty of man is being revealed, that we are not able to save ourselves. The time it takes to develop a vaccine is about 2 years. And, you know, there's really no answer to the current problem. Yeah, that has spread across the world. And I have taken the opportunity to share the gospel with people who text me about the current situation, people who send me information on about the H5N1. So there was this woman, we conducted the funeral for her mother, and that was the first time I was telling my wife that I'm being chauffeured in a Rolls Royce to conduct the burial for the mother. And these are all very well-to-do people, but they need the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I also like to share this testimony with you so that you help me to preach the word today. It's no means, you know, boasting about who I know. You know, we have the ICS devotion posted every day, right? I'm sure some of you would have received it via WeChat. And one day I received a text message from a billionaire in Shanghai. He's not a Christian. So he has been following, I think, reading our devotion. And he texted me one day because the devotion was about the joy of the Lord. He is a multi-billionaire. He is not a Christian. But I'm sure that he's looking for happiness. He's looking for joy. And he texted me and said, "Hey, today's devotion helped me to realize that, you know, I can find joy in the Lord Jesus Christ." Isn't it wonderful? Really, I do not know the ripple effect of the devotion, but definitely there'll be people out there looking for the meaning of life. And, you know, when we challenge you to reach one soul for Jesus Christ in 2020, let me say that you're not doing the church a favor. We're not saying this because we want the church to grow. We are saying this is because as Christians, we have been entrusted with the ministry and the word of reconciliation, and there's the urging of the Holy Spirit in our hearts to share the good news with someone, because if someone were to die because of this virus and we miss the opportunities to share the gospel, then, you know, there will be one day where we will be accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ for the message that He has given us. This morning, I received a text from my staff about an unfortunate event in Shanghai where this man who came back from Wuhan back to Shanghai, and he died at home of the virus. Nobody knew that he died. He died at home. And the whole estate was cordoned off because of the fear that this virus will spread. Therefore, there is this urgency for us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because God doesn't want anybody to perish, but all to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, there are many people who are pursuing different things in this life to make them happy. But they realize they are still unhappy despite of having what they want or pursuit. There's a huge difference between happiness and joy. And I will take time to explain it today. Therefore, let us not take it for granted that joy belongs to us and it will sustain us in any situation, including a crisis in life. And by the way, the sermon topic today is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, part 2, on the aspect of joy. There are 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All right. So let's look at scripture from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 25. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 25 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Let me give you the definition of joy according to the Song Concordance. It's kara and rejoice. It's a Greek noun which describes a feeling of inner gladness, delight, or rejoicing. Joy in the New Testament is virtually always used to signify a feeling of happiness that's based on spiritual realities. And I'll tell you what are the spiritual realities afterwards. Joy is an inner gladness, a deep-seated pleasure. It is a depth of assurance and confidence that ignites a cheerful heart. It is a cheerful heart that leads to a cheerful behavior. Joy is not an experience that comes from favorable circumstances, but it is God's gift to believers. Joy is a part of God's very essence, and as discussed below, His Spirit manifests this supernatural joy in His children. Joy is the deep down sense of well-being that abides in the heart of the person who knows all is well between himself and the Lord. So what can we rejoice over? I am safe. You can be joyful because you are safe. It's the best gift that you can ever receive as a human. Now, both the Apostle Paul and Jesus gave a very good comparison in different passages between the law of the life in Christ Jesus and the work of the flesh. It says here, if, right? It says, if, maybe you will, maybe you will not, are to abide in the vine, then we will bear much fruit. Likewise, when we walk in the Spirit, then we will witness the bearing of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So there's a choice for us. Either we choose to abide in the vine or to be apart from the vine. If we choose to be apart from the vine, then we will not bear any fruit. We will not see any joy in our lives. And if we were to walk in the Spirit, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to walk in love, forgiveness, deal with bitterness in our lives, deal with strifes in our lives, if not, we will not enjoy the kind of joy that the Holy Spirit, that the Scripture tells us. So there is a freedom for us to live in victory with the well help of the Holy Spirit and the new creation realities. Now, there's a tendency for us to revert to carnality and listening to the flesh whenever we are affected by the world through its passion and desires and stoked by our pride. We will have vain and carnal thoughts as a believer unless we have our mind renewed by the Word of God. Now, happiness. Verse 26 says, "Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." There's a tendency for us to compare our lives with others. The chances of becoming proud is highly probable, has caused us to be conceited and provoking one another. There's something that's worse than the coronavirus. It's called a fluenza. Yeah? There's something worse than the coronavirus. It is called affluenza. It is a spirit that drives a person just to be affluent without values and principles. People will just be a mean to an end to us. That we make use of people just to be rich. And where they are slightly more successful than others, then they will talk louder, demand privileges, and has an attitude. You know, I was quite taken aback. Let me give you an example. I was quite taken aback when a friend of ours shared with us their plan to look for a wife for their son in a more backward and less sophisticated city or country. I mean, at this time and age, who are we going to look for a spouse for his children? And he did that. He said, "I'm going to go to another country, less sophisticated than Singapore and Hong Kong, to look for a wife for my children." I believe that the thing that people tend to be more highly opinionated, critical, envious of each other when they come from a materialistic society. Honestly, to some extent it is true, because we will always be comparing with what others have or have not in a materialistic world. It doesn't make it easier with social media when all your friends are showcasing their lifestyle on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, right? So this kind of thinking and attitude has brought a lot of social ills to society today. People, including carnal Christians, will be concerned about the class and the standing in society more than what's in the mind of God. You know, honestly, I can feel very miserable every morning when I go down to the car park where the brand of the car gets fancier, pricier, and make BMW looks like a car that belongs to a commoner. Both Singapore and Shanghai are major, fast-moving cities in the world. Therefore, if happiness is measured by the success of someone in the corporate world, then there should be a lot of happy people in these cities. Unfortunately, there aren't many. Because happiness is very much subject to the environment. Happiness can disappear or vanish very quickly when something happens to us. Let me give you a few examples. Happiness or lack of it can be measured by our interpersonal relationship. Namely, how is your relationship with your boss? If you have a good boss, you're very happy. If you have a bad boss, you're not so happy. If you have a change of boss, your emotions go up and down because, you know, you got to check his mood, whether when he's happy, then you go and see him. When he's not happy, you might not want to go to his room. So your happiness is very much dependent on his mood. The kind of quality life that we are having. You know, I tell my staff, maybe I should share with you today. I make my lifestyle very simple in Shanghai. Okay? My haircut in Shanghai is only $3 Singapore. $3! I don't have to go to, I don't know what, no fanciful hairstylist, and I don't have image problem, I don't care. So if you're so concerned, you know, then you will be very miserable and unhappy when you have a new wrinkle on your face. For the youth who are here today, there are new pimples developed. Right? Someone was telling me yesterday that a lot of men go for facial, buy a lot of beauty products. Let me tell you, there are a lot of very good looking Korean actors and actresses, but it's not so common in Korea. Only actresses are pretty on TV, like just as Singaporeans. But praise God, we are beautifully and wonderfully made in Jesus Christ. Amen? All of us look good. Good place to say amen, actually. Is the value of the property market on a growth trajectory? You know, we will be happy if it's going up, but when it's going down, we're not happy. Are our children performing up to our expectation? Maybe Asians are more concerned than the Westerners. How about our health condition? I mean, this is big. If our health is good, we're happy. But if our health is bad, I mean, happiness is gone. How about our marriage? Is our marriage doing well? Is our marriage doing well, we'll be happy. But if our marriage is not doing well, how do we deal with it to keep the joy? I mean, let me tell you, as Christians, we can keep the joy. You'll get better in the sermon afterwards. Our struggle of being single. You know, in China, there's this thing, this concern that there'll be the left behind woman. Right? Our business or sales in a slowing economy, especially right now. Traditionally, the first quarter, you know, many of you will not meet the target of your sales because of Chinese New Year, especially in China. 14 days, everybody is away. With this current Wuhan virus, maybe the first quarter is just gone. Right? So are you happy? Maybe your boss are not happy, but you can keep your joy. Because the joy of the Lord gives you strength. The young people who are here today, if there are very few likes in your Instagram posts, for the older folks' Facebook posts, are you still happy? Alright? So the loss of hope in any situation will make us unhappy, and the list goes on and on. Whatever happiness or celebration will vanish when these many factors are not moving in the right direction. Therefore, our mood can have a huge fluctuation throughout the day. It will affect the peace in our lives too. Contentment plays a vital role in the life of a person, whether we are happy with what we have or who we are. Many people are not aware that the root of discontentment is due to the void or the emptiness of the heart that comes only to be satisfied with the restoration of God's place in our lives. I started off my sermon by saying, this billionaire that I know, I mean, he owns a lot of things, a lot of properties in Shanghai, but he's still not happy. He's still searching. And that's why I take an opportunity to share the gospel with him. Sometimes I visit him, not because he's rich, but because he needs to be saved. And that's the only time that he will feel joy, love, contentment. Because with all the money, with all the assets that he has, he is still not happy. If we are not careful or taught well as a believer, then discontentment in any aspect of our life will cause a believer to join with the world to be frustrated, anxious, angry, jealous, mean, full of strife, a need to prove oneself as better than others, always has to be acknowledged, struggling for power, leadership, and the list goes on. There's hardly any joy in such a person who is discontented, and we know that nothing in this world is able to give us an absolute or permanent contentment. I need to slow down because there's an interpreter behind. Are you okay? Joyce, surviving? Okay, thank you. Some of my staff in Shanghai said, Pastor Daniel, maybe you just preach as a normal, you know, let them voice over whatever you are speaking. I said, no, it's not going to work. Because unless the interpreter stand on stage, I won't realize that someone is interpreting. I'll go as a bullet train and the person will probably be lost. So let's go on to contentment. All right? 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 to 7 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. We brought nothing into this world, and we will carry nothing out. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness is closely associated with contentment, and it brings about great gain, especially joy. God is happy with me, and I'm at peace with God. That's tremendous joy in my life. Godliness is about knowing God. Godliness is a pursuit of God. It is about his view of us and what is viewed as important to him. Let me repeat that. Godliness is a pursuit of God. It is about his view of us and what is viewed as important to him. Godliness is also the awareness in our heart and mind that God has our interests at heart. It is knowing him as God, but it's also someone like a close friend, especially, you know, knowing his character. It develops faith, absolute trust and confidence in God, including how we respond towards the different challenges that we face in life. Therefore, when we are aware that God is interested in every aspect of our life, then joy will be found in our heart. It is an inexplicable joy. It is a kind of joy that and quiet confidence that everything will be alright because God is with us and for us. And we will not be running around frantically trying to look for assurance, affirmation and help from people around us. We will not be running around frantically looking for assurance, affirmation, and help from people around us. Because if we are doing that, we will be a very miserable person because we will not have absolute assurance, affirmation from the people around us. There will bound to be someone unhappy about us. You know, I was having lunch with someone recently, catch up with an old friend, and he was telling me that his son was asked to write about the characteristic of a Singaporean. I know I'm in Singapore, I must speak carefully. But since it's a school project, I can tell you. You know what the mother told the son? The characteristic of Singaporeans is they are constantly complaining. Constantly unhappy. If we're constantly unhappy, then we no joy. Even if they give you 4 months, we complain. Free. We say, we can't find masks. Okay, we give you 4 masks, but yeah, we're not happy with 4 masks. It's amazing, isn't it? I really don't know. I mean, maybe I've been away from Singapore for 13 years. I learned to be contented very easily in Shanghai. So what give us contentment and joy? Let me share with you the secret, okay? Please listen to this very carefully. What gives you contentment and joy? Okay? The Bible tells us that we are blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And this truth forms our identity that brings about contentment. This truth forms our identity that brings about contentment. So what are these truths? Number one, we are forgiven and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are forgiven and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Number two, he has caused us to be accepted in the beloved. Accepted. If all that matters to you is how God looks at you, then this biblical truth that you are accepted in Jesus Christ bring about contentment in your life. Because honestly speaking, let me share with you, like the example that I gave just now. This this lady who came to pick me up, I mean his family came to pick me up in the Rolls Royce to bury his mom at the funeral site. The mom is very rich. But praise God, she's safe. The thing is, she brought nothing with her when she was cremated. Nothing. This testimony, maybe I should just expand this testimony a bit. This testimony came about when I received a call from a friend in Shanghai, and he said, you know, Pastor Daniel, I need your help. This person is not from the church, but his mother is in hospital. She's in a coma. The mother is very old. She's in a coma, and she's just clinging on. The doctor has given up all hope. She's just clinging on, and they do not know why she's not, you know, taking her last breath to go to heaven yet. So they realized, the daughter, who is a non-Christian, realized that the mother, one of her last wish was to be baptized. So he asked me, will you go and baptize the mother even though you do not know her? I mean, for a situation like this, can I say, oh, because her name is not in my membership role, maybe you should look for another pastor. No, I did not say that. I don't even know this person. And I say, yes, because she is one of us. She's a Christian. She is, although she's not in our church, but she is one of us. I will go and baptize her. So I went out to the hospital. She was in a coma. The mother was in a coma. I preached the gospel to her again, assure her. I believe that the spirit man can hear. I baptized her through sprinkling of water. I assured her of her salvation, that she is accepted by the Lord Jesus Christ in the Beloved. And the moment she breathed her last, she will be received into heaven by God. I left after half an hour from the visit. I went home. The next day, the daughter called and said, thank you for coming. My mom passed away very peacefully. And that's why we went to do the burial and so on and so forth. So it's important for us to just sit back right now and just meditate on this biblical truth, that we are accepted in the Beloved. If all that matters to you is what God thinks of you, and it has to be that way, then you can come to a position of rest that in Christ you are accepted in the Beloved. You will stop striving. And you have to come to a reality that you will never be able to have 100% acceptance from people around you. Because if we don't deal with this rejection issue about, you know, we need to be accepted by people around us. You know, my neighbor is driving a Porsche. I must drive a Porsche. I mean, for me, if I have this kind of mentality, like I said just now, I'll be very miserable. Because when I come down from my house, there are so many Porsche, McLaren, Bentley, Rolls Royce, and then by the time I reach my car, I'll be feeling so small, you know. And I'll be in an international church. I mean, all of you have big titles. I'm a pastor. I'm very happy. I have my head held high because I know who I am in Christ. So when you come to a realization of who you are, that you're accepted by God, you have a lot of joy. Because at the end of the day, the rest are temporal. What matters most is eternal. Because right now, especially this time, when you do not know where the virus is, let me assure you, okay? And I apologize to you if you're concerned about my health, because I just came back from China. It's 14 days. Okay? To reassure you, I was scheduled to go for a blood test at a body clinic before I came back. I did a full blood test. They say everything is clear. I'm very good health. She looked into my tongue, everything. There's nothing, no virus. My son went for a jog. I walked behind him, brisk walking. I have no weakening of my body. Based on all the symptoms, I'm okay. And biblically speaking, I believe that when the virus touched me because of the anointing, the virus will die. So I'm sure that it is okay. So don't panic, okay? And I'm sure that you are here because you are not so concerned. Okay, one more biblical truth is we are counted as righteous when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Righteous means you are able to stand right before God just like you have never seen before because of the blood, okay? We have peace with God that brought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been given the right to become children of God. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly places far above all principalities, dominion and might. We have an everlasting covenant with God. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. There's nothing in this world that will be able to separate us from the love of God. These are biblical truths that belongs to us. So when what truly matters to us is found in the mind and the thought of God, then we will come to a place of rest and contentment. If God is for us, then nothing can be against us. Amen. Now, let me give you an example. There are many periods of my life, our lives, where I feel really contented and have great fulfillment in life, including this period of our lives in Shanghai. I remember there was a period of my life, some 20 years ago when Samuel was just born, I was working in a Methodist church. I was constantly very busy but full of joy and excitement. The joy came out of me during that period of my life, not because I was a senior pastor, because I wasn't at that time. In fact, it was far from that position. I was very busy preaching in the Mandarin service weekly, looking after the Filipino fellowship, looking after the poor and needy in the church, strategizing the outreach ministry for the entire church of a neighborhood of 10,000 people with a passionate committee, and did some mission work, come look after the mission department when the director went on sabbatical. We get to work as a team to ensure that the whole program was good. We set the stage for the senior pastor to preach and be recognized for the ministry. There was no murmuring, complaining about, you know, the ministry, because I knew that I was walking in the will of God. There was tremendous joy. Was I paid well? Was I recognized? Was it a good position? Was there a lot of affirmation from men? No! Was there trials and tribulation in my life? Yes! But was there joy? Yes! Why? I'll share with you, okay? Therefore, don't be discouraged when the promotion hasn't come yet, but be faithful a little. Don't be discouraged when the job doesn't come with a nice title, because our identity is in Christ. Don't be discouraged when there's a lot to be done, because it is a preparation for tomorrow. Attitude matters. Don't be discouraged when it's not the company that you desire to work in, because it is still not the end. Keep the joy. Joy. Very finally. Four more pages. Bear with me. Joy. Verse 23-24 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." So over here, fruit, the fruit word fruit is kapos, can be used in its literal sense to refer to fruit, produce, offering, which is produced by the inherent energy of a living organism. Okay? Inherent energy of a living organism. So when God talks about the fruit, it's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, the nature of God living in us, that produce the fruit of joy in our lives. Jesus said that He is the vine, we are the branches. Thus, apart from Him, nobody is able to bear much fruit. Therefore, joy is an outflow of God from the depth of our hearts, because we are quietly confident that He is able. So it is an inherent energy, it's an inherent power of God in the inside of us that creates that joy in our lives, giving us the confidence that all will be alright. Amen. Let me give you an example. You know, when we arrived here for Chinese New Year, we didn't know how extensive this thing is going to develop in terms of the Wuhan crisis. I told my staff when the Christian Council called me and said, cancel all church services and no mass gathering. I wrote to my staff, said, you know, I give you permission to fly out, fly home if you want, whether to America, to South Korea, to the Philippines and whatever. Just, you can go home if you want to and wait out. I told them that. And then right now, I received a text message yesterday, my flight to Shanghai has been cancelled. So right now, I'm in a limbo. My team is in Shanghai. I'm here. I'm a pastor. My ship is all over the world. And I really need God's wisdom. Pray for me, okay? What to do? And thank Mr. Lim for offering me his studio to record my sermon if I need to on a weekday, so that I don't take up too many slots for Pastor Sandra, and also for me to take a bit of rest. And I was also thinking that maybe I should take my tax break now rather than August, so that I don't waste time. So pray for me, okay? So it is important to have that joy, okay? So the joy is first experienced on the day of conversion, on the born-again experience. So the day when you're born again, there should be that joy in you. The fruit is already there. It's a matter of growing that fruit in your life. Our life has a new meaning after we experience a reconciliation with God and establish our identity that's found in Christ. It gives us great significance in life, and all kinds of striving will stop and should stop. We are secured in God's love, and His opinion about us matters most. James 1:2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you're faced with trials of many kinds. Consider it pure joy when you're faced with many kinds of trials. Let me give you an example, right? There was one day I was praying, and the Lord asked me to make an investment on a certain commodity. So I asked my wife, can I invest some of our money? Because my money is her money is my money. So she said yes. And so I believe that the investment idea was from God. But what I did not ask God was, who should I invest with? So I invest this in a wrong person. So to cut the long story short, the investment based on the commodity value flipped 4 times. So when the value flipped 4 times, the person that I invested with left with the pastor's money. And let me tell you, when I realized that the person ran away with my money, I said, who on earth will steal the pastor's money? But I was telling my wife, I didn't lose my joy. I wasn't angry. I'm not angry. I don't have hatred. I don't have unforgiveness. And yeah, I did not report to the police because I invested in the wrong guy who ran away. So I told her, I said, it's okay. I'll just forgive the person. It's not a big amount. It's okay amount. All right, I cannot tell you. Just to you, it's peanuts. So I left it as that. But I was still very joyful. It didn't affect my work. I went about, you know, still continuing to serve. And to be fair to the Lord, it flipped 4 times. I lost the money. And I just tell the Lord, say, how can someone take the pastor's money? I think the rich people, okay. I mean, take the pastor's money, this is unthinkable. So I complained to the Lord. And then one day my friend called me and said, you know, Daniel, a good friend of mine, said, Daniel, I know that you lost that money in the investment. The Lord has blessed me a lot. I'll give you whatever you have invested, the basic amount. So I've lost the fourfold, but my investment amount, God used someone else to give it back to me. But in that process, I didn't lose any joy. I didn't ask for people. Say, I didn't go around and say, I lost money. No. So if you're made to work with a very difficult God, boss, consider pure joy and stand in God's grace. You may be going through a very challenging period with your teenager. And the teenager here today, please be kind to your parents. They're probably at their wits' end as to know what to do right now. Consider pure joy and stand in God's grace for the parents. You might not have received good news recently. Consider pure joy and stand in God's grace. You might have a very bad investment recently. Consider pure joy and stand in God's grace. So how do we stand in joy? How does it look like practically? Okay, I'm coming for landing already. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 to 5. Very quickly. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 to 5 says, are you there? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. There will be trials and tribulation in our lives, regardless whether we are believers or unbelievers in Jesus Christ, because we live in a broken world. It is how we face the trials and tribulation that differentiate us from the world. In fact, the devil will throw all kinds of sufferings, challenges, difficulties, sicknesses, pain, illnesses, disappointment, just so that we get disappointed, disillusioned, and frustrated with God. In fact, there will also be incidences where it will cause us to question about why God allows us to walk through such deep valleys in our lives. There are two outcomes when we go through a period of tribulation. Namely, either we become bitter with God or allow the Lord to walk through with us with His grace and strength. The consolation is we know that there will be the fight of faith, which is a battle between what we are experiencing against what we proclaim to believe and what we are going through. It is in this molding process where character is built, where we refuse to give up on our conviction that God is good, faithful, merciful, gracious, loving, and everything that is written about Him in the Scripture. It gives us hope of a breakthrough and deliverance. It is the joy that sustains us. There's this deep assurance given by the Holy Spirit about God's love in our heart that produces a joy. Ultimately, we know that God still wins and reigns in eternity. The first major benefit of a believer is the peace of God. It's peace with God. Verse 1 says, therefore, having justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's no peace whenever a country is at war or when there's a friction between two parties. In fact, there will be animosity when there's friction or war between parties, and we will ensure that the other party will suffer greatly in the process. Can you imagine if someone is at odds or in an antagonistic relationship with another, or to make matter worse, it is with God? It will be a great torment. Praise God that we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not by human effort that we have peace with God, because it is purely an act of God's love that He sent Jesus to reconcile us to Himself. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us on a cross so that we can have the righteousness of Christ. We have been justified by faith when we believe that Jesus has taken our place on the cross of Calvary. It means that the wrath of God towards sin has been dealt with by the Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Jesus' death has satisfied, appeased the wrath of God, and dealt with the sin issue that separates us from God. It has been forever settled in our lives. Therefore, if the sin issue has been dealt with and paid for, there is nothing that we have to pay for our sins because Jesus has redeemed us. There's no longer any wrath, animosity, or war between God and us. We are at peace with God. It is good news. We call for a celebration and it is joy. You have peace with God. Amen. And when you have peace with God, you're full of joy. It has an inherent joy in you. So the second benefit is where joy is being produced. It says, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Through whom also we have now access into this grace where we stand means the word also set this blessing forth as distinct from the additional to that peace of God. That means after you know that you have peace with God, there's this grace that you can access by faith, that you believe that you have divine favor with God. It is the place of divine favor given to every believer the moment he believes. We are the highly favored one because we are hidden in Christ. Are you hidden in Christ? So when you're hidden in Christ, Matthew chapter 3 verse 17 says, suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. So when you are hidden in Christ, if this is you and this is Christ, and you're hidden in Christ, all that God sees when He looks at you is Christ. And when all that God sees when He looks at you is Christ, and this scripture tells us that He is well pleased with Jesus Christ, God is well pleased with you. It stops all performance treadmill of religion. You come to a position of rest that you accepted, that God is well pleased with you. You go on living for the Lord, and you know that when God is well pleased with you, He is with you. In good times and in bad times, and during those times, God will infuse His grace into your strength to create joy in the most difficult, intense environment. And that kind of joy is different from happiness. Because happiness is subject to the environment, whereas joy is not subject to the environment. Joy is something that is inherent in you, given by God, because you know that you have peace with God and God is with you. That joy sustains you in a difficult situation. When you have a difficult boss, when you are going through trials and tribulation, when you are in a very difficult relationship, when you are in a very difficult situation where your investment is concerned, when you are in a very difficult situation like now when there is a Wuhan virus outbreak, H5N1 outbreak, and you not know where is a safe place, you still can have that joy because that joy is inherently found in the inner part of you, in your heart. Pooh! I'm preaching myself happy after the second service right now. 9 o'clock service, I preach in Chinese. Now I share with you in English. Man, we should be the happiest people on earth. So Christians, please don't look around, walk around like bitter gourd. There should be some form of joy, there's some form of glow in our face that, you know, everything will be alright. Let me share with you an example. You know, I said, you know, my wife and I, we go through challenging moments, tribulation in our lives, deep valleys that we experience. And one of my boss knows what we have gone through, and he shared with some of my colleagues in the past, hey, you know, don't worry, Daniel is a gregarious character, he will come out of it very quickly. I beg to differ with that statement. I don't think it is because I'm gregarious and I'm easily, you know, mixing around with the crowd, I'll come out of the situation. The reason why I'm able to walk through the deepest valley of my life is because the joy of the Lord is my strength. I don't know what kind of difficult relationship that you are in. I don't know what kind of tribulation that you're going through. I don't know what kind of things that you're facing in your life. But one thing I know, that when you have this access into the grace of God in your life, nothing can press you down. Because it is God who sustains you. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. It is joy. And when the joy begins to come out, you will be able to go through that difficult situation, regardless whether it's relationship or difficult situation, because it is during that time that God infuses this joy that belongs to you. In closing, we should only be bothered by how God looks at us, because He is the master craftsman and the person who determines our final destiny, including this process in life that we are currently going through. Faith will begin to arise when you believe that God's unmerited favor, His abundant grace towards us, that caused us to have this divine favor upon us and all our dealings. It will also grant us the strength and the favor with man. It is when we stand upon and believe and allow the word of God to abide in us, then we are able to bear the fruit of joy. We believe that God's grace on which we stand makes a way of breakthrough for us and infuses His grace in the form of joy into our lives. The joy that comes into our lives is from God. Being connected with God, given by God and sustained by God through the influence of the Spirit of God, it is a divine infusion of God's joy. That makes us different from the people in the world, because we have this inherent joy in us that flows out of us in good times and in bad times, regardless of the circumstances. You can enjoy happiness, but it's better to have joy that springs out regardless of the circumstances. Let's bow our head and pray.